This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. To hear the American public tell it, the so-called war on drugs is a lost cause. A whopping 82% of U.S. adults say the country is not winning the war on drugs. That's according to a new poll by Rasmussen. The latest survey of 1,000 adults were asked, is the United States winning the war on drugs? Just 4% said yes, 82% said no, and another 13% said they weren't sure because they were high. I'm kidding about that. We don't know why they said that, but the Rasmussen survey also shows support for legalizing drugs. 44% said yes, legalize it. 42% said no, keep it illegal. 14% said they weren't sure. Also recently, both U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder and CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta made headlines by officially changing their positions on drugs. Holder told the American Bar Association in San Francisco that he wants to cut down federal mandatory minimum sentences for nonviolent drug offenders. Gupta said there was no scientific basis in the government's position that marijuana has no medical benefits, and he said we as a nation have been terribly and systematically misled in the country on marijuana for some time. To talk about that, Martin A. Lee is the author of a book, Smoke Signals, A Social History of Marijuana, Medical, Recreational, and Scientific. Welcome to The Source, Martin.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
And we invite our callers to join the conversation. What do you think ought to happen with marijuana? Should we legalize it? The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. So, Mr. Lee, let me ask you, people in the country right now, I mean, they can enjoy legal marijuana, right?
Well, in certain states, according to state law, Washington and Colorado, one can, as an adult, one can enjoy or use marijuana. Not everybody does enjoy marijuana. Some people find the experience to be anxiety-producing and so forth. But it turns out now that there are all different kinds of strains and versions of the plant, and one can access the medical benefits of the plant by using certain strains without actually even getting high. That was featured on the Sanjay Gupta documentary last week. So it's a very interesting plant with a lot of variety to it, and there's no question that there's a shift in the culture right now with respect to cannabis or marijuana in the United States.
Yeah, a dramatic shift in the culture. I remember as a kid, you know, it seemed the tide was always, when I was really young, it seemed like it was the social progress was happening, and that was the 60s and free love, and people were smoking pot, and you seemed like, well, it's probably going to happen. And then we had the 80s with the Just Say No campaign and the crackdown on the war on drugs. It seemed like that would never happen. And here we are now, it seems we are seeing it, you know, little by little, and state by state, pot is getting legalized.
Yes, and it might be a very dramatic transformation. When you think about the political landscape during the Cold War, when the United States and Soviet Union were at loggerheads, it seems like the Cold War was going to last forever back then. And all of a sudden, the Berlin Wall came down, and dramatically things changed. Soviet bloc communism collapsed. And overnight, it seemed that things changed dramatically. I think that could also happen with respect to marijuana laws, although it might be incremental state by state, as it has been both on the medical marijuana front and the recreational front. But it could happen either way. I think it's long overdue. The problem is that cannabis or marijuana should never have been made illegal in the first place. It's a policy that's built on a mountain of lies. I realize to some that's a controversial statement, but when you go back and look at the machinations of the federal government during the Depression in the 1930s when marijuana first became illegal, you'll see that the what was being said about it at the time is just absurd. We look back on that era of the reefer madness, the idea if one takes one puff of marijuana, they'll become a deranged killer, a freak, and go out and murder people and so forth. You know, we look back on that caricature and we can laugh now, but at that time it held sway in society, and that point of view kind of stuck with the culture for a while. And in fact, it still lingers to some extent. I think we see examples of, I would call it, reefer madness light that still persists today. Some of the myths of old keep getting retread. When you look at cannabis, you have to realize it's a plant that has been part of human culture going back thousands of years. It's been part of the medical uses. It goes back to ancient China. 2,000 years before Christ, it was used as a medicine. So it's not a new thing when people talk about medical marijuana. In fact, even in the United States in the 19th century, it was widely used as a medicine, not smoked, but as tinctures, as rubbing ointments, and so forth. So it has a long history in human culture and in the United States. And I think kind of what goes around comes around, and we are seeing now a return to a more original position that appreciated the benefits of cannabis and that wasn't caught up in some of the stereotypes that still linger today.
Let's go to the phones. If you want to jump in this conversation, we'd like to hear from you. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Joey is on the line. Joey, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. It's good to talk to you. The thing is that a lot of the marijuana that people had during Woodstock was brought back from Vietnam. It was brought back from the soldiers. And there was a Colonel David Hackworth, he died a few years ago, but he himself did not partake. But he noticed, a lot of soldiers would go out and they'd go out drinking. And when they'd go to a bar, they'd have too much to drink and they'd get into fights. Well, he noticed that after they had been smoking marijuana, they realized, we're not fighting each other, we're fighting the enemies, and they calmed down.
It does seem to have a calming effect, cannabis.
Thank you for the call, Joey.
Yeah, and it's true that marijuana was brought to the United States by soldiers returning from Vietnam in fairly significant quantities. Back in those days, the main source was Mexico. Mexico continues to be a major source of marijuana in the United States, but much of it is also homegrown in states like California, Colorado, Oregon, Washington, and so forth.
In Kentucky.
Fact, it's grown all over the country.
Yeah, Kentucky, isn't it like the number one cash crop there?
Kentucky has a long tradition, actually, of growing industrial hemp. Marijuana is kind of like a two-faced plant. On the one hand, you can use it for recreational medicine, getting high, and so forth. And it also has industrial uses. In Kentucky, the industrial uses were prominent. There's over 20,000 industrial products made from the fiber from the hemp plant, which is a very, very strong fiber. Makes for excellent cloth and cord and paper and other kinds of industrial products. So, yes, it's been part of American culture, the industrial hemp, for quite a while. And that, too, we're likely to see a revival as the laws change with respect to marijuana and the cultural consensus shifts.
We're talking about the possible legalization of marijuana here in Texas. It's happened into a couple other states, and other states have seen a medical marijuana come into the legalization there. But Texas, no sign of it happening here. As a matter of fact, in Texas, you can't even use medical marijuana as a defense if you are brought up in trial. Martin A. Lee is the author of the book Smoke Signals, A Social History of Marijuana, a Medical and a Recreational and Scientific. And we're going to listen to get your phone calls. You want to jump in the conversation. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with The Source in just a moment. And welcome back to The Source on KSTX. We're talking about marijuana. We have a long history of marijuana in the United States. And for much of it, it's been illegal, made illegal. That's a mystery to some because here we are trying. Some are fighting for it to become a legal substance. And people like CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta says that there's no scientific basis for the government's position that marijuana has no medical benefits. And it's been classified as a terrible drug and that no one should ever even look at it or talk about it. So on the phone, we've got Martin A. Lee. He's the author of the book Smoke Signals. So with Dr. Gupta changing his mind about marijuana, how big of a deal was that?
Well, I think it's a fairly big deal because he's a media celebrity and he's a physician both, and he's well-respected and he has a big following. I think what was significant about the program, and incidentally, I feel it did have some flaws and misinformation in it, but the most significant thing was that it highlighted two facts. One is that marijuana really does have medical uses, and that was dramatized by showing children who are actually given tinctures of marijuana, not smokable form now, and who had intractable cases of epilepsy, sometimes 300 seizures a day. This is a very tragic disease called Dravet syndrome. And when these children first were exposed to a marijuana remedy, their seizures completely stopped. And this was shocking to the parents and a great breakthrough, of course, very heartening. But when you see the kind of transformation actually played out visually on television, it's very, very powerful. And the other thing in Gupta's program is he emphasized the fact that there are different kinds of marijuana that actually don't get you high, that are not psychoactive. You know, marijuana has many different components in it, many different compounds and molecules, and depending on the configuration internally of the plant, it'll have different effects. And that's important for people to realize. It's not just about getting high, and certainly within the medical realm, it's not. And I think people learned about that for the first time as a result of watching his program.
In popular media, in our culture, people will smoke marijuana in the movies and such. It's something that's flaunted and acted like it's just something that people do. It really looks like that the prohibition against marijuana is losing a grip on this this generation.
I think it is, and part of it is because of the so-called baby boom generation. Okay, now we're in our 50s, maybe even 60s. They lived through experiencing marijuana. They experienced it back in the 1960s when, for the first time in the United States, millions of young people were experimenting with marijuana. That was unprecedented. And the baby boom generation knows from firsthand experience that it's not, you know, the evil weed, that its effects are relatively benign, mildly euphoric for those that enjoy it, and mildly anxiety-producing for those that don't. And based on that personal firsthand experience, you know, a lot of the myths have fallen away, and that has a lot to do with it. But also the younger generations, younger than the baby boom, have grown up in an era where marijuana was omnipresent. We talk about legalizing the weed as if it's going to make such a big change. Well, the fact of the matter is tens of millions of people in the United States already use marijuana, and that's something that might not even expand dramatically if legalization occurs because, you know, those who want to use it probably already are doing so. I think the newcomers into the marijuana community will likely be medical users who need it for therapeutic purposes, who want to use the different kinds of marijuana that aren't particularly psychoactive or high-inducing.
The number to call to join the conversation, let's hear what you think ought to happen with marijuana. This number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Probably the most high-profile person in America who smoked marijuana quite a bit when they were a youth is Barack Obama, the president.
It's true. He is well known as a younger man that he was an avid marijuana smoker, and it kind of gives the lie to the notion that if you're a young person and you use marijuana, even excessively, that it's going to damage your brain or lower your IQ. I'm not saying that it's a good thing for young people to do that. There's much better ways to cope with stress and to live a better life. But it does not damage the brain in a physical sense in the way alcohol would, for example. It does not lower one's IQ. These are part of the propaganda that's continually promoted by those who still cling to the drug war framework.
A lot of people say that if we did legalize marijuana and taxed it, it would create a valuable revenue stream for our country and also do a lot of damage to the drug cartels.
I think that quite possibly true. In California, for example, medical marijuana, when it was taxed, raised something like $100 million for the state treasury. And, medical marijuana only represents about 10% of the marijuana used in California. So there's no question that an opportunity to fill the state treasuries is being squandered by not taxing and regulating marijuana, But the idea that it in and of itself is going to be a catalyst for reviving the American economy, I think that probably overstates the case. With legalization, it's conceivable that the price will drop, and that means the profits will be less and taxes will be less as well. But it could be a considerable contribution.
All right, let's go back to the phones. The number to call, 614-8980. Mark is on the line. Mark, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good.
I just wanted to, ask, what is it that regular citizen can do to make what's called the public aware about the use of the good things about marijuana and what's it called? I know here in Texas, like you said, you can't even talk about it in the courts and everything. Who would I talk to, like in legislation about legalizing marijuana, and what I have to worry about, like my First Amendment rights or anything like that?
All right, Mark, thank you for that phone call. So Mark brings up a great point. Some people are willing to support political candidates who would embrace marijuana, and we're starting to see some candidates come forth and talk more openly about doing that. I think Cory Booker, the candidate for senator from New Jersey, is being more forthcoming about legalization.
What's interesting, when you look at the political spectrum, you have both people on the left and the right who support marijuana legalization. And, of course, you have people on both sides of the spectrum that don't. But what's interesting, it's a very odd coalition that supports marijuana legalization. On the one hand, you have liberals who in this instance are adamant supporters of states' rights. They want states to be able to make their own laws on this, and the liberals are supporting that idea. That's very unusual for a liberal, states' rights. And then you look at libertarian conservatives, very much against government regulation, but in this instance, libertarians are clamoring to be taxed and regulated. So it's a very odd, it's kind of like the funny stuff. That's how they refer to marijuana. Well, the politics involved with marijuana legalization are also a bit odd and unusual and unconventional. And I would say to the caller, don't assume that people are closed-minded about this. It's a political issue that kind of upsets the typical political apple carts, the typical ideological apple carts. I think more and more people are being open-minded about the need for change in this area. And as Sanjay Gupta found when he broadcast his program on CNN, when you actually look at the facts, when you actually go and look at the science, it's very, very powerful how it supports the notion that marijuana does have benefits, and that the government, the federal government in particular, has really been dead wrong about this.
But marijuana can be abused. It's, this is not trying to sugarcoat this. If you smoke a lot of marijuana, it's not good for you.
It can be abused like anything could be abused. However, we should keep in mind that when you look at the side effects of marijuana, they're relatively benign compared to things like alcohol or harder drugs. But marijuana in and of itself is not addictive. It doesn't cause a person to become an addict any more than food causes a person to become a compulsive eater. It forces us to reevaluate our ideas about addiction, our ideas about health. People abuse marijuana. There's some people that just don't know when. They can't stop. But they couldn't stop with any substance, And if they're going to be dealing with something, in my opinion, better to be marijuana that is less harmful than another more dangerous drug. But in this case, I think your point is well taken. There's much better ways, much healthier ways to deal with stress rather than taking marijuana or another drug.
All right, back to the phones. The number is 614-8980. Danny is on the line. Danny, you're on The Source. You're on the air.
My name is Daniel, and I'm here in this local area of San Antonio. And I am a veteran suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. And my comment is that I know now with our generation, the millennials, we're kind of, we read into the facts, we look into research, but I just don't believe that Texas is quite like that because it's a red state. I know I participate in the VA programs, and I know there's a lot of combat veterans that are in support of this, not just legalization, but for medical purposes. thank you very much for your time, guys. You guys are doing a great job for getting it out in the air finally.
Okay, Danny, thank you for your call. I appreciate that. So he talks about the medical benefits of treating PTSD. Is that something that you've just write about in your book?
Yes, and also there is some serious science behind it. You know, so the scientists have examined the parts of the brain that are sort of going hourly during PTSD experiences, and they note that marijuana affects those parts of the brain and kind of cools things out. I should give a bit of credit here to the Obama administration, and I should point out I tend to be very critical of Obama, but his administration, unlike his predecessors, granted veterans the right to use medical marijuana in states where it was legal without being penalized. Prior to that, if you're a veteran and you're suffering from PTSD and you're using marijuana to some positive effect to deal with your condition, you could be penalized by the Veterans Administration, have your benefits withdrawn, have your other drugs cut off, and so forth. And Obama did make a little change in that area, and that's to the good. And certainly in the case of veterans, we got to cut a little slack around the law. I mean, these people have really contributed in ways that are very significant to our country, and they shouldn't be penalized if they're looking for ways to cope with their situation after being in a war zone.
And there are a lot of people who are suffering from advanced stages of cancer and other diseases where marijuana would provide some relief, provide appetite. And it's just it's been proven that that's a, you know, something that these people want and could help them. But here in Texas, they're forced to buying drugs off the streets.
That is unfortunate. You know, in other states, you can get different kinds of medicines based on marijuana that are not smokable.
Yeah, but then the people I've spoken to in this area say it's not the same. It's just not as good.
Well, it depends what you're doing it for. These concentrates, these oils, can have very profound effects,
okay.
And people swear by them. So it's not for necessary for recreational purposes.
All right, Martin A. Lee is the author of the book Smoke Signals: A Social History of Marijuana, Medical, Recreational, and Scientific. Talking about the making marijuana legal, he says that it's something that it is coming. It is happening little by little here. When will it come to Texas? We don't know. I want to thank you very much for joining us, Mr. Lee, and your book. And this is The Source on KSTX. When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about immortality. We'll be right back.